we're missing Mike, I'm sorry. Mike has stepped out, but I think we can start with the routine matters. I'd like to call the board meeting to order, please. Could we have a roll call?
Governor Quinn, Secretary Hanning, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Canham. Director Morris.
Here.
Director Cradle.
Here.
Director Wolf.
Here.
Director Saldana.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wisner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year again. Let's start with public comment. I have at least one, no, I'm sorry, I have two people who have, one person who has filed an interest in making a public comment. Ms. Boardman?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. My name is Christine Boardman, and I'm the president of SEIU Local 73. And my union's members are your toll collectors, money room truck drivers, custodians, parks and section clerks, and warehouse employees. I am not here today to ask you to discuss labor relations and the state of negotiations that have been going on for more than 1 year. I'm here to ask you to make inquiries for an evaluation of where negotiations are at and provide leadership to your management team. Our talks are in a very fragile state, and further lack of direction or lack of will in reaching an agreement shall put our labor relations in a very dangerous state. When I walked into the authority this morning, I looked up to see if the memorial display of employees who had been killed in the line of duty was still hanging. It is. You'll see it on the left-hand side when you first walk in. For those of you who may not have noticed it, there is purple bunting draped over frames honoring the lives of 10 employees who lost their lives in a single tragic moment while they were doing their jobs on the tollway. Three of those employees are highway maintainers. Six of those employees are toll collectors, lane walkers, etc. All paid the highest price an employee can pay for the performance of their job. The three employees who were highway maintainers are covered by a pension formula under the state employee retirement system, also known as the alternative formula. This formula was developed first for employees who are first responders, such as firefighters and police officers. The difference in formula is principally defined by the multiplier, which is 1.67 for each year of service for all public employees who are covered by SCRS, and 2.5 for those employees who are considered to have a considerable risk on the job. 10 years ago, this was extended to employees who were not sworn personnel or traditional firefighters or police officers, but were also public employees who daily have to put their lives and health at risk for the public good, such as the highway maintainer personnel and our toll collectors. Since that time, our members at the tollway have also striven for the same goal. In the last two contracts that we have entered into with the tollway, the last two executive directors have pledged in writing to work with the union to have the alternative formula applied to the toll collectors and classifications who continue to risk their lives on the job to collect money for the tollway. This included Jack Hartman and Brian McPartland. Although it is generally viewed that a contract is a pledge or a promise of certain conditions, this is not how the tollway has approached this issue. In what was one of the slimiest displays of bad business conduct, the tollway has even tried to deny that they ever even made this pledge and commitment to our members, your employees. We have now been in negotiations for more than a year, and we are getting further apart, not closer together. You have made it clear through your representatives that you want to fundamentally change the size of the workforce at the tollway.
You want us to give up our job security so that the tollway would be free, to be principally electronic with very few or no employees on the road. And you want the additional freedom to change what had been full-time benefited positions to part-time positions at your discretion. Our members have mandated the negotiating committee to hold fast to what every American right now needs, and that is their job. But we also have a clear vision as to the effect that the full implementation of IPAS has had and will continue to have on our jobs. We have attempted to engage in interest-based bargaining to no avail. You have goals that you want to reach. We have goals that we want to reach. We have asked multiple times for the tollway's financial analysis of the effect of our proposal and to do a cost-based analysis of its ultimate value to the tollway and to the employees. We have directly told your management representatives that if you want to reduce the size of the workforce, a logical way to do that would be through attrition and to agree with us to apply the alternative formula to those employees in our units who actually have their, quote, boots on the road, so to speak. Once that is done, we are certain that more than 100 to 150 employees would either immediately retire or within a year of its application. We have also asked for the tollway's version of the direct cost information as to what the financial cost of applying the alternative formula would be to our workforce. The tollway has this information. You must note here that the tollway has refused to provide a single piece of financial information that would show what that cost of such a deal would be. We have our estimates on our own, however, but in any kind of real bargaining, both parties have to be able to objectively verify figures. My appeal to you today as board members is to take a look at the hard numbers of what the cost of an agreement to apply the alternative formula to our members would be. At this point, we are on the verge of taking additional legal measures to force the tollway to provide that set of numbers at the table. They have a legal obligation to do so under the current public employee labor laws. Our calculations show an estimate that the tollway would actually save money and the cost of maintaining a full-time workforce of the size that fits your needs by an agreement to apply the alternative formula. It is time to compare numbers. And our committee finds it very curious that your side of the table refuses to come to the table and deal with this. At this point, the frustration and anger level is rising due to what we perceive as your reluctance to do some hard comparisons on numbers costs. We ask you to provide direct leadership to your management team to come to the table with their figures, and we'll come to the table with our figures. It is our firm belief that if both sides would go through this exercise, that our ability to reach an agreement with the tollway would be very easy. The refusal to do this and instead implement unilaterally pilot programs that are designed to undermine what we hold dear to us is non-productive, destroys morale, and ultimately results in negative behaviors on the part of employees. At this point, if we add up the legal costs of your representation at the table, it might itself be able to pay for the cost of Pat's service in the pension. I say this facetiously, but why hide from the truth behind the back of a lawyer when what we really need is an interest-based bargaining approach? You want a smaller permanent workforce, and we want to improve our retirement security in the same way that you have granted it to highway maintenance. In the last couple of months, I have been convinced by our committee that without direction from you, your management team will continue to refuse to provide the cost analysis that we are requesting. Rather than turning this negotiation into an ugly display of confrontation, let's look at some hard numbers and decide where we can find mutual agreement. I hope you discuss this matter in an executive session, and in the event you wish any further information, I am at your call. We have asked federal mediation to come in for our next session, which is on February 3rd and 5th. I am hopeful of your leadership on this matter and to bring it to a successful conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was helpful. As you point out in your statement, we do discuss these matters in executive session, but I would open it up to directors if they have any questions that they'd like to ask Ms. Boardman. Any, in response to factual things that were set out in the statement.
No, I think the statement is very helpful so that we can use it as a tool in that discussion. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. I had been told there might be one other public comment, but I don't see any evidence of that. So we will move on, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to do first is call for the approval of the minutes from the December 17th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Then second, what I'd like to do is ask that we have reports from the two working groups that have been set up. Start with Director Wiseman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Late last year, a OASIS working group was formed, of which I am the chair. We have been hard at work, mainly at the staff level. We have had a full committee meeting back in November. We will have another in February, and that date will be announced shortly. The working group was put together to deal with issues surrounding our OASIS. And in early December, we were informed that there was another topic of discussion, one might say. This one dealing with notice by ExxonMobil that they wished to assign the lease they held with the tollway authority to another vendor, as it were. And so at that point, as you noticed from discussion at the end of the Finance Committee meeting, relative to McGovern Green LLP, because of the short time frames involved in responding to the assignment request that was in the lease, that was incumbent upon us to do as much analysis and as deep analysis as possible in terms of determining whether or not the assignment of that lease to the vendor involved, which is Combined Oil, would be both meet with the lease requirement and would be in the best interest of the authority. And so, as you heard also, we went through the process to advertise, as it were, or to seek proposals from various consultants, and out of those, McGovern Green LLP was determined to be the most suitable for this purpose. And Craig Green, who is a founding partner of the organization, as well as Jack Healy, are both here today. Craig Green has been in practice in Illinois since 1979, and in fact, he's a graduate of Aurora University, a wonderful university in a marvelous sound district to the west of us here. But he formed McGovern Green in 2003. They have offices in Chicago and also in another wonderful town to the west of here, Naperville, Las Vegas, and Atlanta. You owe me, George. And they have been on the case from day one here in terms of working to analyze the implications of this assignment of lease. On December 31st, we contracted with McGovern Green LLC. On January 7th, we sent ExxonMobil a second due diligence letter following the November 13th letter, seeking information from them and from Combined Oil as well. On January 13th, representatives from the tollway as well as McGovern Green met with Combined Oil at Combined Oil's offices in Lincolnshire. And based on the information requested, the information received, the visit to Combined Oil, it was determined that there was not enough information for us to make come to a reasonable conclusion at that time. So we indicated in writing some of our concerns to ExxonMobil, and these were outlined on January 14th in a meeting with myself and Chairman Wolf, and then on January 15th, the same concerns were outlined to ExxonMobil by tollway representatives, followed in writing on January 19th, and we indicated that more time than was allowed by the terms of the current lease for approving an assignment, more time was needed than was allowed for in the lease. Currently, on January 22nd, ExxonMobil agreed to extend the deadline for a tollway decision on the proposed assignment until March 5th, 2010. Tollway staff and McGovern and Green will continue to review the information as it comes in. There's still a large segment of outstanding information that we're seeking. We will then report back to the full board at our next meeting. The other item I think that bears some discussion, and that is that our tollway investigations and audit department has completed a report with regard to the court's appointment of U.S. Equities as receiver in the Wilton Partners matter. Our general manager for investigations and audits, Mr. Wagner, in his report has concluded that U.S. Equities did meet the qualifications for doing business with the tollway, and the report did not find any appearance of conflict of interest with business affiliates or personnel. And I'm sure Mr. Wagner would be happy to answer any questions on that matter at this time if the board so wishes. So that, as I said, the OASIS committee or task force working group, as it were, we'll get it right.
We should call everyone.
We'll meet. We'll have a meeting in February, and that notice will be put out very shortly. Madam Chair, that concludes my report.
Any questions for Director Wagner? Well, I want to thank you and Andrew Boren, who's been staffing this, and the members of your working group. Obviously, the point here is to make sure that we maintain services for our customers and our clients. We want to have the stations open, and we want to have them functioning well at the best deal for us. And I think bringing in an outside consultant to examine the group that was being offered up as a replacement for ExxonMobil gives us the capacity to do some good analysis of that. And we'll hear back in March on where we're going to go next. For February, an update, and
right.
Then we have a deadline by
correct.
Early March.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Now, Director Morris, your working group?
Just so you know, even though it's not part of our committee's purview, each board member will volunteer to serve coffee and hot chocolate in the event we have no services left out there. And we start with the chair until she gets tired. What our committee is trying to do is look at the kind of violation system, the IPAS system, and how that's working. And we had a very productive meeting in the first session. We've had great staff support from Stan and from Andrew as the staff director. We have a meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Obviously, anyone who would like to attend, we would like to have them there. We're really still in a learning mode. We are trying to understand the violation system, how that works, how many days you go before you escalate on fines, and how that is resolved. It is interesting, the system has collected $175 million so far in the last couple of years, so it obviously is bringing in funds. Senator Schoenberg raised a question, and we are still analyzing that. Does the violation system break even? Does it make a profit? Does it lose money? The preliminary information from Stan seems to indicate that we are probably in a break-even mode, but we will continue to look at that. The Senator raised a good question that we do need to pursue violators so they obey the rules and pay the tolls, but we don't want to create a system where we lose money on it, but it looks like we're probably in a break-even mode at a minimum. What we're trying to do is also figure out how to improve communications with especially our IPAS customers, who are now 83% of the system. And one of the key components we've learned is that we need IPAS customers' email addresses. So the communications department is working up on a plan that we can begin to educate people that they need to contact us. And in fact, I saw on one of the boards today on the way down here, there was a big thing as you drove under that said, you know, IPAS customers, keep us up to date on your records and that. But the having the email address is critical. we seem to have a lot less problems with renewals with the email system than we do with the postcard system, so that's helpful. We are also studying the possibility of using websites to process people who challenge their tickets, and we are modeling it after what the city of Chicago has done, and we hope to have something like that by midsummer or early summer to see if we can do that here so people don't have to make the trip out here to Downers Grove if they don't want to. And then we have begun, and we will begin this afternoon, an evaluation of the whole electronic system, because that contract is up, I believe, is it, Mike, in June?
Correct.
And so we're having a presentation today from the staff so we can understand this tremendously complex technology system and what we need to do to be able to come back to the board to make a recommendation on whether we rebid, whether we extend it another year, what other options we should have, do we create a different parts. So we're hopefully going to begin to learn what all of that's about so the board members are better informed when we have to make a decision probably at the March meeting. And so our meeting will be today, and we will skip the next month because Tom's committee will meet, and then we will meet the following month. But in between, the staff meets on a weekly basis to keep providing information. Anybody that needs notes on the information we've gathered, we'd be happy to circulate that.
Thank you very much, and thank you to the subcommittee and the staff who've been working on this one, too. Any questions for Director Morse? I think we just have two other things. One, I would like to comment that there had been a report that has been the subject of some public discussion. From the report was from the Executive Office of the Inspector General. Senator Garrett had been interested in that report. The tollway has taken the position that we are not in a position to release that report, and it recently came to my attention that we'd received a letter from the Attorney General's office which supports the position that we've taken, so I just wanted people to know that. And then this sort of feeds into Tom Bomani, who's going to talk to us a little bit about some legal matters.
Yes, the chair asked me to remind you of the letter I sent about a week ago about two important changes in state law. The first is to the revolving door provisions of the procurement code. The recent amendments apply to agency officials, including board members, and impose a absolute one-year bar on acceptance of employment or compensation from any tollway vendor for the year after you would leave membership on the board. This prohibition applies in part to family members who live with you. And it is, pretty tough standards, an absolute prohibition on, again, board members accepting employment or compensation from any tollway vendor for a year after service.
And Tom, when you say family, it's people who live in your household. It's not adult children who are off on their own.
It's immediate family members who reside with you, yes. So those are changes. The changes to the revolving door provisions ripple down to staff as well. The TOA is working with the Executive Ethics Commission and the Governor's Office on identifying employees who will be subject to the new provisions. And, there are a lot of questions. But if any of you in your personal circumstances would like to discuss it, feel free to come to myself or Andrew Boron, our ethics officer. The second major change that affects both the work of the board but the work of the tollway more generally are amendments to the Freedom of Information Act. And there's a lot of procedural changes that staff are processing. I won't go into those. But a big change is this. There are two exemptions that public agencies have often relied upon to withhold documents. One is called the deliberative process exemption that exempts notes and drafts and policymaking materials. And the other is an exemption that exempts from disclosure materials that may be an invasion of personal privacy. And agencies have often relied upon those exemptions to deny FOIA requests. Under the new law, anytime the tollway wants to rely on one or both of those exemptions, it's going to have to go to the Attorney General's Public Access Counselor and get preclearance for that. And the Attorney General's Public Access Counselor, through working with the TOBA and other agencies, will be establishing the scope of these two exemptions. But I think the expectation is that the legislature intended for there to be even more transparency by agencies, by the TOBA. So again, if there are any questions, I'm happy to address those.
I think it's just important to point out the General Assembly exempted itself from those provisions.
Well, they are deliberate.
Madam Chair, if I might supplement Director Wisner's report on the OASIS, there was news on the OASIS front on the foreclosure process involving iStar and Wilton. There was a court hearing in early this month, where the court dismissed Wilton's objections to the foreclosure. No one from Wilton showed up at the hearing. So the expectation is that the foreclosure process may proceed on an unopposed basis and with a target time frame of perhaps midsummer to be wrapped up. So.
Any questions for Tom? Thank you. Mike?
Okay. I'll jump right in and let's get Rocco teed up here in just a moment for a presentation. First, I neglected to, I suppose, reintroduce Joe Feibelson. Joe, as you know, started in January. We've moved him over from the acting IG position to actually an acting chief of administration role in January to help us in that transition until we can fill that position permanently. So thank you, Joe, for stepping in.
Thank you for having
me. To helping us with the load there. And specifically, I'm happy to take a hat off. So thank you very much. The next item we'll get into is actually with regards to our congestion relief program. And is the clicker up there?
Yes.
Okay. No, that's no.
Maybe with practice.
This next item to discuss is regarding the tollway's current and future capital planning efforts. With half of our directors really just joining us in the last 6 months, it's important that we take the necessary time to familiarize our newer board members with the TOWA's past capital planning decisions as well as the current capital planning decisions and efforts for that matter. As you're all aware, we've recently wrapped up about 80% of our current capital program. We review our capital needs continuously based on the needs of the system and not just on our existing roadway, but where else we may have to add access. What other new roadways are appropriate for the region and will better reduce congestion and help the economy continue to grow and to help the tollway to continue to serve as an economic engine for the region. The current $6.3 billion program, which, by the way, Paul and Mike can take credit, we're delivering at $6.1 billion, is on schedule. We are on track. We now have a remaining about $1.5 billion left of the original, what is now a $6.1 billion program. And through that work is scheduled from 2010 to 2016. This year, I'm going to run through some of these so you can get a good look at what our 2010 and the rest of this program is. It's $1.5 billion. We want to make sure everyone understands what we have scheduled. So let's see if this gets us, doesn't do anything.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike, what am I doing? There we go. Okay. So why don't we start on the tri-state real quick. In 2011, we'll have a resurfacing effort from 95th to Balmoral Avenue. It's about a $65 million project. After that, there we go. The other left? There we go. This year, we are starting in one of the major projects Paul already has out for the PSB, the resurfacing of Eden Spur. It's a $15 million project. How many miles is that, Paul? Roughly, Greg, Pete? 5 miles? About 5 miles? Of the Eden Spur. And in 2010, we're also doing what's called the Diamond Grind up on the North Tri-State there. Along with the Eden Spur to Half Day Road, $8.5 million project. We also have the bioswale construction from Higgins Road to Lake Cook for a $10.3 million project is getting underway this year. Another 2010 project we have is the bridge repair at Roosevelt Road to Charles Road, another $13 million project. In 2011, we are starting the rehabilitation and resurface of the Kennedy Expressway. Of I-90 from the Kennedy to the Elgin Toll Plaza. The design for that work is already.
We are going to be selecting them in the second round of selections for this current.
Okay. So as part of our cycle, we do design, you know, typically the year before, and then you do the actual construction work the following year. That was on the PSB selection that went out late last year. Paul and Mike and the rest of the PSB selection team are still reviewing submissions. And that's roughly $154 million project we've scheduled there for I-90. The next I-90 project we have on this corridor will be in 2015. It's a rehabilitate and resurface from the Elgin Toll Plaza to Newburgh Road, and that's $188 million project as that's identified for. What I'll talk about later is what rehabilitate and resurface means versus reconstruction and widen what we have already done on the vast majority of our system. In 2015, 2016, we've got $152 million roughly identified for design work for the Kennedy to Newburgh Road. That design work is essentially to get out in advance of a potential reconstruction and widening of that roadway and what that means. So this year we're out, for those of you who drive this corridor, we are starting, you know that we've moved to the inside lanes on the Fox River Bridge on I-90. We will be doing rehabilitation and repair work on that bridge. So we can remove the weight restrictions and we keep it at our high standards of maintenance for our entire system. On I-88, in 2015, we've got a rebuild and widen project scheduled for Deer Path Road to Illinois Route 56, so Butterfield, and that's about a $20 million project in 2015. In 2012, we've got resurface scheduled for Deer Path Road to Illinois Route 51 at just under $100 million. How many miles is that? I'm sorry, I don't remember these numbers. It's a significant stretch that we'll be resurfacing. And then in 2015-16, resurfacing from Illinois Route 251 to U.S. Route 30, another $152 million project. So we really, through 2016, the main capital project that we're in really addressed the vast majority of our system, some with complete rebuild and widen efforts to add capacity as well as get a 30 to 50-year life out of that roadway. But then in other portions, as you see here, with really just patches, rehabilitation and then patches to buy us anywhere from 7 to 10 years, depending on the resurface versus rehabilitation and surface resurface. We have a bridge repair project also at the EJ&E Railroad Bridge this year, which is about $1 million project. Also, this one is going to continue the westbound Fox River Bridge. We're really just wrapping this one up. Is the last piece of this bridge on 88. And then the last big project you'll see for this year for the tollway is the resurfacing I-55 to Boughton Road on the Veterans Memorial Tollway at roughly $34 million. And, sorry, another 88 to Army Trail, same resurfacing segments on Veterans Memorial Tollway. Okay. With that, that gives you the snapshot of where we are and what's already planned as far as the rest of our capital planning efforts. There has been many changes over the last year, 2 years. Mike has alluded to many of the economic impacts that our region, the state specifically, has felt pretty dramatically. In addition, our project costs have changed. The tollway's leadership has changed. The state's leadership has changed. And as we look at all these dramatic changes, we wanted to revisit our capital planning process with our board. We restarted a few months ago with Paula's direction. Our planning and engineering group and finance have begun to update all of our analysis of different projects we have looked at, as well as we have restarted the effort to work closely with IDOT, METRA, PACE, RTA, CMAP, and other planning agencies to identify which projects are in the best interest of not just the tollway but the region, and to make recommendations up to the governor that we believe would be appropriate for the tollway to potentially move on or to include in our capital planning efforts. Throughout this process, we've been working with communities. We really do see ourselves as a partner, especially as we work towards interchanges, as they address issues of economic growth in their own areas, that we can be partners with them and make sure that we continue to grow with them. Through this process over the past few months and then going into the next few months, we'll be bringing to the board an update on projects that are often talked about, that the legislature has already given us direction on, and what it would take for us to become involved in those, or where we see the maturity of those projects for discussion with the board members and recommendations. Today's project that Rocco is going to come up here and give us a review of is the Tri-State I-294 and I-57 interchange project. This one is a very mature project that we've had many discussions over. Rocco will take you back through the timeline. But there has been a lot of FHWA, Federal Highway Administration, discussion over this recently. And as we come closer to final approval for IDOT on this project, we want to make sure that the board is well prepared address this interchange as we come up to it.